What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I want to welcome back to the program Mark Starling. He's the morning guy at WWNC up in Asheville. And Mark, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. Good. My brain is still trying to recover from the full-length audio of Corinne Jean-Pierre there. That is really something to listen to her in a full six-minute block.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
a lot. As the kids would say, she's extra.
She is a little extra. She's kind of like eating a whole popsicle at one time. You know what I mean? That brain freeze that you get.
Yeah.
Same thing, like you get a little paralysis on the side of your face there and everything kind of goes numb. Yeah.
So I'm curious, did the White House reach out to you, being a news guy in radio in North Carolina? Did they reach out to you as well to see if you would like to do a six-minute interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre?
No, because I think they're under the assumption that Western Carolina is actually a different state.
Ah.
So.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people in North Carolina believe that to be the case as well.
It's a valid point.
It's a valid point.
Way out here, out west,
yeah,
if you will.
No, but believe it or not, the state of North Carolina does actually exist west of 321 or west of I-77. There's a whole... there's got to be like 20, 25 counties out there, I want to say. Pretty big space.
And they're full of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's not get crazy.
Okay. Some of them are full of people.
Yeah, some counties have a lot of people. right, but still. So all right, so Western North Carolina, this is why I wanted to have you on, is to let people know about some of the stuff that is going on out in the West and the local dumbassery that occurs.
Right.
Particularly in Asheville, because you know me, I do enjoy pointing and laughing at some of the goings-on in Asheville. I made a pretty good career of it for about 8 or 9 years. So,
right.
I'm curious. I thought that the story about the obelisk or the Vance Monument,
right there
in the heart of downtown Asheville, it's the thing that looks like, well, used to look like the Washington Monument, right? The big stick right in the middle of downtown. And so that thing got taken down. I thought it was already all the way down, but apparently the base was still there. Is it still there?
Yes, so the base was still there, and they were using the base as a platform for random different art displays from local artists. I mean, they say they were art displays. I don't like to throw terms around, but
yeah, one man's
they were art.
One man's trash is another person's trash, that kind of art.
It could have been a homeless person's shopping cart up there. I'm not 100% sure, but they said it was art, so I just kind of, just acknowledge them and let them have their thing every once in a while. But yeah, so the base was still standing, and essentially what happened was they began to deconstruct or destroy this monument prior to actually going through the proper channels. Well, then once it was already down, there was an injunction filed. They were told that they could not do anything else and that the blocks had to remain in a certain storage facility area because of their historical significance, right? And that was until all of this got resolved. And finally, now, after having gone to the state Supreme Court, they've said, you know what, it's a done deal. Asheville is free to remove the base now. So they're going to take the base away, and the space is going to be dedicated. I know this is going to come as a real shock to you, but it's going to be dedicated to a space of inclusivity.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah.
So
basically, they're going to look for probably, I don't know, $22 or $23 million to re-image the park there?
No.
And now remember that this is, the Vance Monument is now surrounded by Black Lives Matter circle because they allowed the Black Lives Matter folks to paint these god-awful murals all over the streets that, you know, what happens after a while when cars drive over the top of murals, it just becomes an unmitigated mess, and that's essentially what happened but they let them do it anyway. So you've still got that to contend with now as well.
Hmm. Okay. So there. All right. So this stone base that's there. They are going to dismantle it. They're not going to just like put up a little staircase so people could stand up on it and do the street preaching or do the protesting like they usually do from that area.
No. They're gonna get rid of it, and they're gonna come up with a plan for the park. They don't know what they're gonna do with it yet, but you know, there's still the funny part is that all of the marketing and tourism stuff still has the Vance Monument very present on that marketing material that they are using for, you know, to lure people here for false senses of safety and vacation.
So the Vance Monument was erected for Zebulon Vance, who was the former governor of North Carolina, I believe the only one from Buncombe County. He happened to be the governor during at the start of the Civil War, and so they erected this monument for him. And in fact, the local Jewish community, and not even just the local Jewish community, there were Jews that would come from all over the country, and they would put wreaths at the base of this monument because after the war, Vance toured the nation promoting, he had a speech, and they turned it into a book. I think it's called like A Scattered Nation or The Scattered Nation or A Scattered People, something like that. And he talked about how, like, Jewish people, they're not so bad. Like, that was literally the whole point of this thing, was to kind of let people know that Jews were not the enemy. And so Jewish people, like famous, wealthy Jewish people, were, like, indebted to him so much so that they would make this annual pilgrimage down to Asheville, North Carolina, and lay wreaths at this monument.
So you do have to ask yourself, I mean, did they take it down because Zebulon Vance was a slave owner, or did they take it down because he supported Jewish people?
Mm.
I mean, I'm only going by their rules.
That's
right?
True. Like, yeah. No, so, that's a fair question. Well, so all of the effort to take it down was during the summer of fiery but mostly peaceful protesting.
Right.
But before that had occurred, taxpayers and what was it called? The Society for the Historical Preservation of the 26th North Carolina Troops. They had raised a bunch of money to renovate the monument because it had been decaying.
Right.
Because just like everything else in Asheville, they don't keep up with their infrastructure maintenance. So so it started to decay. They raised a whole bunch of money, like over $100,000, and they put it towards renovating this monument. And then after that was done, then they started to take it down. So the local group is like, we want our money back, no?
We missed a step in there, Pete, because prior to it being taken down, they decided that it needed to be, since they couldn't take it down, that they had to cover it because it was triggering people. So they put this gigantic tarp, black tarp over the thing.
Yeah.
Right? And it went exactly how you expected.
Right. Didn't some of it blow off?
It did. It blew down the first day.
Well, and then my favorite proposal came, I think it was in the local paper, where they said, let's paint the thing, and let's paint, we'll have, because it's four sides, we'll paint each side of this monument, this stone monument, a different color representing different peoples. And so there was one color for black, there was one color for white, then there was color for yellow and red. And people were like, whoa, that's kind of racist-y.
Yeah, and here's the best part. That suggestion actually came from the city council, who are supposedly the anti-racist. Right? Like, I mean, it's a whole different world over here.
See, this is what I mean. This is why I say sometimes I just like to point and laugh.
It's a target-rich environment here in Western North Carolina, my friend. I got news for you.
Mark Starling, Morning Guy, WWNC Radio. I appreciate your time, Mark. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You got to take care, Pete.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. Like, literally, they said, let's do four colors. Yellow for the... And people are like, well, what does the yellow color... What people are those? They're like, okay, that's a terrible idea. We take it back. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? I do have messages. I've got a reaction to the Corinne Jean-Pierre interview. People are doubting that it actually ran 6 minutes. They believe it felt more like 3 hours. Totally get it. North Carolina's highest court declined to revive a challenge to the decision by Asheville city leaders to remove the monument downtown Asheville that honors the Civil War era governor of North Carolina named Zebulon Vance. The Vance Monument, it's an obelisk, as they called them. The state Supreme Court agreed unanimously that it had been appropriate to dismiss legal claims filed by an historic preservation group that had helped raise money to restore the 75-foot-tall obelisk back in the 2010s. Right? So about 10 years ago or so, they raised a bunch of money. I want to say it was there's a figure in here. This is from WLOS TV's website, WLOS.com. Right. $138,000 they had raised. So they took donations from people to fix this monument because the city of Asheville this is what they do. The city of Asheville has a very long history of not funding its capital maintenance. They just don't. And so they are constantly trying to do money grabs against residents in surrounding counties with different water rates and stuff. They're constantly trying to annex properties in and stuff, but only certain high revenue generating properties. Like if you look at their city limits, like it's crazy. They annex in like squiggly parts just to connect to this other richer part so they can take that tax base. So this is why, by the way, this is what prompted my idea. It was really off of some of the city council members were pitching this idea of a commuter tax. So if you lived outside of Buncombe County or outside of the city of Asheville and you commuted in, somehow another GovCo would learn this information about you and then they would tax you for coming into their city and helping to generate economic activity for them. How dare you, right? So they would tax you. They wanted a commuter tax on you. This is what prompted me to come up with the catapult idea, which for some reason no one has taken me up on. To be fair, I have not perfected the landing part of this idea. But you basically just launch all of the vehicles as they come into town that are on the interstates and such. You just launch them over the city. And as they flip over end over end over end, all the money drops out, rains down on the city. You just run around, collect all that money. And then, well, like I said, I haven't worked on the landing part yet. I was just trying to, no pun intended, get the idea off the ground first. But, you know, get some seed capital, some angel investing lined up and go from there. In the months after the start of the 2020 demonstrations over racial justice and the murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, the Asheville City Council voted to dismantle the downtown monument out of public safety concerns because they were very, very afraid that if they left the obelisk standing, people would keep protesting at it, on it, to it, in front of it, twerking on it, all sorts of stuff, spray painting it and that sort of thing. Attacking the big rock monument with their fists and feet. Just flinging themselves at this stone monument. Its cornerstone was laid in 1897. It had been vandalized, and the city had received threats that people would topple it. The Society for the Historical Preservation of the 26th North Carolina Troops opposed the removal and sued, but a trial judge dismissed the lawsuit. The obelisk was dismantled before the Court of Appeals told the city and Buncombe County to stop the demolition while appeals were heard. Now, here's my idea, because you know me, I'm all about solutions, right? Here's my idea. They took down the big stick part of this obelisk, but they still have the base, as Mark was telling us. They still have the base that's there. And I say, dismantle that, and give it away for free. Hand it out. So anybody that wants a piece of history or something like that, they can have it, right? I think this would be a wildly popular and successful program. You just break it apart, dismantle it, you know, into blocks or manageable sizes, you know, that kind of thing, and just say, we are giving away, you know, pieces of this base. Sort of, it's a free base. And I think it'd be very, very popular, particularly in Asheville. You promote free base in Asheville, like, you're going to have people coming out of the woodworks. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. I don't know why I'm going to do this. Maybe I'm suffering from dementia. Hello, Steve, and welcome to the program.
This is Winston.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you sure it's Winston?
Well, that's my brother that calls in.
Oh, your brother is Steve?
Twin brother. Hey,
your twin brother is Steve.
Actually, my dad is a twin. He's an identical twin.
So it's your dad?
I love my dad. Listen, Pete, I want to pass the olive branch out today and leave anything that I said in the past. Leave it in the past, and we're going to move forward. And I'm being sincere.
Okay. Is there a reason why you want to extend this olive branch? Is there a reason that precipitated this?
I think I have conviction of the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
I shouldn't clown about that, but I wanted to talk about some serious stuff. This wreck that happened up there, Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know, I was thinking about that bridge when I was 18 years old. Now this is going back. Me and a friend of mine, he had a Volkswagen. We drove from Pennsylvania down to that bridge when it opened up and drove across it in the middle of the night. And I could swear we had a six pack of beer. That's an honest to God truth.
All right. That's
a good story. But now getting back to the serious stuff here.
You
know who Laura Logan is.
What's that?
Laura Logan, the reporter. Laura Logan.
Laura, yeah. Yes, I am aware of Laura Logan.
She's a pretty good gumshoe investigator. She was on the Steve Bannon show yesterday, and she doesn't believe the official story we're being told.
That's not a surprise.
She says it was a military strike, and I listened to her, you know, and we know in military strategy, taking out lines of commerce, communication. And this is truly one of them. But what I want to go to is who was driving the cargo ship? And were they tested for alcohol? Because, you know, commercial carriers cannot have any alcohol in their system. You ask a truck driver, they can't have anything. And how about some camera footage of the helm? I mean, why can't we get these questions answered? I mean, is that a logical question? Am I asking too much?
Have you actually sought these answers?
I'm asking you.
No, well, I have not sought the answers. Have you?
Well, you have the connections.
What do you mean I have the connection? You just said you've been to the bridge. I've never been to this bridge.
No, not to the bridge. That was party time. I'm talking about the when it went into the boat hitting yesterday. I'm getting serious now.
I am as well. Matter. Are you? So there is. Do you have a computer?
Of course.
Okay. So you could do a search to find out, like who the captain is of the boat, and you could like find out what the protocol is for the drug and alcohol testing, which I would agree with you that there, my presumption is that there is some form of testing that they would all undergo. But I have not, okay. I've not done any kind of research into whether or not that has occurred. And that's why I asked if you had.
No, but I'm asking, why haven't we heard? Why haven't we heard?
I don't know what you've heard or haven't heard. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what everybody has heard.
I would like to hear.
I said if it's, okay, well, I'm answering your question, is that if you would like to hear that answer, I would say the first thing you should do is to go and try to seek it out, right? Which you are doing by calling this show and asking me. If I had that answer, I would obviously give it to you, but I don't have the answer. So I'm telling you, you should probably go and find the answer on the interweb, I would assume.
Are you willing to find out for me and your audience?
Why would I be willing? Wait, why? How hard do you think it's going to be to find out who the captain of the ship is? Why are you telling me to go do this? Hang on a second. Okay, maybe this is just my contrarian nature, and I recognize this about myself, okay? But, why am I taking assignments from you to go find whether or not your conspiracy theory is true or not? Why does that fall to me to do?
Listen, forgive me. I would not want to tell you what to do ever again, because I know that you can hit the exit button on me. You can dump me in a matter of seconds.
So No, it's not even seconds.
I got to cover my base.
It's not so even seconds. Like, I can dump you in less than a second.
Let me ask you something. How comes Laura Logan she does an analysis, very brilliant. You know, she dices it up and she says this was a military strike, and mm-hmm. she has information that it was.
Mm-hmm. How come she has that?
She basically says that this. I mean, that ship did a dog leg into that pier,
mm-hmm.
and that smoke coming out of the stack was that captain pushing that throttle down to the floor. And giving her all she got, Scotty.
I see. So it's not that it was a military operation that like targeted the ship, knocking out its comms in order to send it into the bridge. You're saying that it was this was intentionally done by the ship's captain that made a beeline for it and took it out on purpose. That the captain is part of a military attack.
Do we know the captain was driving? He could have been hijacked.
Stop asking questions as evidence. Okay, you asking a question is not proof of anything. It just means you know how to put a question mark at the end of a sentence. So what I require of you, Winston, is some assertion of a fact. Rather than just asking questions and pretending as if asking a series of questions proves a point when it does not. You not knowing something doesn't make it true, okay? It actually just means that you don't know something, right? Your ignorance of a particular truth does not make you right.
Okay, it's not ignorance. It's more of a...
No, it is. You don't know. No, you don't know the answer, and you asking me about a topic that you are obviously more well-versed in than I am, right? Because you watched Lara Logan's interview, so you know way more about this than I do, because I didn't watch her interview. I don't know the ship's captain. All I'm doing is you're making an assertion, right? You obviously believe that this is a military attack. And so when I ask you, okay, so the captain did it intentionally, it wasn't like an attack on the ship, it was an attack from the ship. That's what I asked you. And then you responded with a question about the captain and what do you think it means and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm asking, is this the assertion you are making, that this was an attack by the ship, not on the ship?
Well, whoever was in control of the ship, and my reservation about, do we know the captain that we say is the captain was indeed piloting the ship? And is it possible that it could have been hijacked like 9/11? Somebody bum rushed the helm, took the controls, and did the dogleg into the pier. That's what I'm saying. As an observer from afar, my vantage point, I ask these intelligent questions because I went to school. I am educated, and I do hold several degrees. So that's what I'm doing, Pete.
So, yeah, I know. You say you're just asking questions. I know.
What? Okay. Do you have any questions about it?
Sure.
Do you believe the official story?
Sure. I don't know if there actually is an official story yet, because we are still in the evidence collecting phase. I'm a patient person. See, I think I'm a far more patient person.
You've been very patient with me today. And you know what? I'm just going to exit right now before I stumble and trip and say happy Easter. If you do celebrate, I don't even know if you don't celebrate, but I just, you and everybody out there.
Yeah, well, happy Easter to you too, Winston, or Steve. I appreciate the call. I think what happened, my guess is that the ship was loaded with thermite. That's what I think happened. And that on board there was a safe that had in it the Epstein client list, as well as all of the videos from P. Diddy's estate. I think that's what they were taking out. I think that was the op. No, I have not seen Lara Logan's report. I do not know the captain of the ship's name. I'm allowing sort of the rescuers to and the search and rescue teams to go and get the bodies out of the water first and let the family bury their dead. I feel like there's probably enough time after they start doing, because they're doing the investigation right now, and I know they're not going to tell me everything because, who the heck am I? But again, this is one of those things where it's people trying to find answers and trying to make connections. And I went over this yesterday that, I think a lot of times people try to connect dots on things, but also to get in front of explanations by making up some, so this way they can say, I knew it all along. And I don't know what feeds that. I've always been more of a, okay, well, let me see what they say. And then once I hear all of that, then, okay, now I can ask some follow-up questions. Let us go to the phone lines. Here's David. Welcome to the show, David. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Just following up with the last caller that you had on the line, man, I'm kind of curious to know why you weren't on the boat watching all this take place,
Yeah, that's a fair.
Did you jump ship and swim to shore and then run back here?
No, that's a fair question, David. You've said too much. You're gone. Can we delete this? Delete that? Yeah, delete that call out of the record. That never happened. You never heard David raise that question. I was never anywhere near the boat. Kurt, welcome to the show. Hello, Kurt.
Mr. Callender.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment about that silly man who called in with all those silly questions.
Okay.
The captain has nothing to do with piloting a ship through a harbor. That is the pilot master or the harbor master. They come on board the ships, they bring them in, and they take them out. They are extremely tenacious individuals. If that man crashed, it was out of his hands in some way, shape, or form. The best he probably could have done if he lost props was drop some stern anchors and pray to God they catch.
Yeah.
I spent 4 years on an aircraft carrier. There were many a time where we were supposed to be underway at 6 a.m. and we're waiting for the harbor master to come on board and guide our United States Navy ship out of a harbor. So that guy, oh my goodness gracious, he was driving me fruitcake.
So what you're saying then, Kurt, what I understand you saying is that this is all a distraction that the captain people telling us that it's the captain's fault, they are part of the conspiracy, when in fact, it's actually the harbor master.
Well, I won't say
hang on. Right. There's the harbor master in the library with the candlestick. Yes.
Right. No, it wasn't the candlestick.
Oh, that's it. Then I lost the game.
No, once you've got one of those behemoths moving, it's a tough break to slow that.
Wait. Hang on a second. Are you telling me that it takes a long time to turn a ship?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Wow. That could be like a metaphor, and we could use that for all sorts of other things, you know, like turning around a failing business or something. Like, wow, this is going to take a while to turn this ship around. Yeah, I like it. Hey, Kurt, I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. This is very interesting. I learned a lot from Kurt today. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.